The Protectors of the Wood episode series. Episode number 2. Thunder cracked just outside the window. Phoebe sat up with a start. Her feet were wet with the rain blowing through the screen. She sat blinking in the darkness, fingering the blue stone glowing on her necklace and breathing in gasps. She put her feet on the floor and sat on the edge of the bed, her head in her hands. "My God," she thought, "what's happening to me?" She couldn't shake the feeling that whatever had come in search of her was still there at the window. What can it mean? She switched on the light and stared blankly past her garbage bags and backpack at a bare desk, a chest of drawers, and the door to a closet. A landscape painting hung in the middle of the far wall, the only trace reminding her that this had been her mother's room the previous autumn. A fierce determination arose inside her to make this room her own, to stay in Middletown, and create a new life. In a moment, both garbage bags were empty, and her shoes and dirty clothes lay in piles on the floor. Phoebe unzipped her backpack and removed two small objects packed in crushed newspaper and rubber bands, and then her books and laptop. Her heart was still sprinting, and she paced around the room to let off the energy that seemed to be streaming out of her. She glanced at the two small bundles and removed the rubber bands and newspaper. Inside were two figures carved by her father out of wood and painted. One was an image of Santa Claus with his bag of toys, and the other was an image of the Good Fairy, with wings and dressed in white, reaching out with a wand tipped by a silver star. She placed these figures on top of the chest of drawers and looked them over carefully. They had survived the trip in perfect shape. For a moment, they comforted her, and then the tears began to roll down her cheeks. She let out a sob and buried her face in her hands. The tears slowly ebbed away. Her hands clenched into fists. "Tomorrow," she thought. "I have to go tomorrow. It can't wait." For months, she had been wanting to come home and work at the toy store. But now she made a solemn promise, with the eyes of the green being upon her as a witness. Phoebe flicked off the light and crawled under the covers where it felt safe. The room shone in the glimmer of the moon. The storm had blown off and the rain had stopped. She felt transformed, changed in some way that she couldn't understand. No longer afraid, she opened the window wide and lay back down. Her body felt calmer, and she was overcome with the sense that there was something important for her to do. A mysterious challenge waited just ahead. "So long as I don't go crazy first," she thought, and then fell into a deep sleep. Phoebe awoke to a delicious warm breeze floating through the open window and sat up in the light of the morning. Her memory of the night before came back in a flood. She looked over at the figures of the Good Fairy and Santa Claus and felt reassured. "I think I can handle this," she thought. She considered her dream. Along with the fear of recalling it too vividly, she felt an unexplainable glow in her heart. A small piece of the song and the whistling came back to her.
"Then tell me there's a chance for us. Let me hear you say we can find a bridge to cross. There must be a way."
She hummed the tune and looked out the window, across the street and across the field, where the vast woods and the half-moon cliffs rose in the distance. This enormous forest had been a looming presence in her life as long as she could remember, always visible from her window in the loft over the store. She thought of her parents for the past few months, living together in the greenhouse at the Middletown Garden Center, only a few steps from the forest. Her gaze shifted to the inside of the room and the chaotic piles of clothes and shoes left from the night before. She began pulling out the shoes and arranging them according to age against the wall. She had a special ritual to begin each morning of scanning her shoes and deciding which pair best fit her hopes for the day. Soon a long row of 24 pairs marched across the floor like pieces of her life, moving from early childhood to almost 18 years old. She carefully examined the sequence of shoes and dwelled on those from years ago, many too small or too damaged to wear. She zeroed in on a pair that she rarely wore now, a pair of indoor soccer shoes. One day before a big tournament, she hadn't been able to decide between her red pair and her black pair, and finally chose to wear one of each. That day she did not allow a goal in 5 20-minute games in the huge gym in Evansville High School. By the finals, it seemed that the entire gym was screaming for her as her underdog Half Moon Ravens beat the home team Evansville Wildcats for the championship. "I need some of that luck today," Phoebe thought, and chose the red and black shoes. That decision made, she put on her dirty jeans from the day before. Out of habit, she checked her pockets for her wallet, key ring, and cell phone. The keys were now mostly useless, and she removed all but the one for the house she was in, the one for the toy store gate, and the one for the toy store front door. She just couldn't let the store keys go. Then she checked her phone and noted for the third time since arriving in Middletown that there was no service near the forest. She tossed the phone and the useless keys into her desk drawer and looked over the pile of clothing that lay scattered in the middle of the room. Nothing was clean, but she picked out a navy blue t-shirt with a yellow Half Moon Soccer Club logo. Her knee brace peeked out from underneath some shirts, but she ignored it and walked to the bathroom, her right knee stiff and straight. After rinsing her face, she caught her brown eyes in the mirror. "I don't think I'm crazy, but I do look different. Something's not the same." She took her charm on its silver chain out from under her t-shirt and studied it in the mirror. It felt strange to be back in Middletown, as if she were in a new body and hadn't quite gotten used to it yet. Phoebe limped down the stairs and into the hot, fragrant atmosphere of the kitchen and poured a cup of coffee. Even with the door open to the backyard, her sister Penny's baking raised the temperature of the kitchen by 10 degrees. Penny sat on the little porch just outside the door. Phoebe joined her there at a small table, half covered by a breadboard and a large brown loaf, still steaming from a fresh-cut slice. They had barely spoken the night before, even though they hadn't seen each other for months. Phoebe had arrived late and claimed exhaustion and a headache to excuse herself. Now they tried to behave casually, as if their relationship had not been interrupted. Blinking in the bright sunshine, Phoebe slid into an open chair. The girls nodded at each other. Penny broke off a small piece of bread and nibbled at it, frowning. "Is this the newest experiment?" asked Phoebe. "It is," said Penny. "But I'm not sure it's what I'm looking for yet." She cut a slice for Phoebe. "What do you think? Don't burn your mouth." Phoebe felt the hot, moist heaviness of the slice and looked at its rich texture. "It's almost like cake." "What's in it?" she asked, taking a bite. It was on the sweet side with the tang of fruit and hardly needed butter. "It's got amaranth, apples, crushed sunflower seeds." "Sunflower seeds? I love the crunch." "Really good. Your work is paying off." "Thanks," Penny said, and frowned and ran her hand nervously through her thick brown hair. But I'm still not sure I got it right. So, said Phoebe, I noticed almost none of Mom's stuff is left in the room. Does she ever stay here anymore? Hardly ever. She's been back with Dad for months. It feels like they never split up. I think Mom just moved here to concentrate on her painting. She couldn't get anything done living at the toy store. I know, interrupted Phoebe, irritated that Penny had implied that the family was better off without the toy store. Penny took a deep breath and said in a comforting tone, Well, Mom and Dad are happy at the greenhouse, so the room is yours. Phoebe looked around and breathed in the beautiful morning. Any thought of the loss of the toy store stung her like a wasp, but she didn't want to quarrel with her sister. It wasn't her fault, and there was nothing they could do about it now. Her glance fell on several fat tomatoes ripening on the wooden railing of the porch. At just that moment, they were touched by light as the sun rose above the trees. There was something strikingly attractive in their varying colors and irregular shapes. The thin skins seemed to be bursting with juice. Whoa! I've never seen tomatoes like those. And it's only, what, June 21st? Dad's growing those? Well, I think so, replied Penny hesitantly. I traded a few loaves for the vegetables Sammy sells in the coffee shop now. Chi-Chi brings them over from the garden center. There's lettuce, arugula, basil, peas. So Sammy's selling Dad's vegetables and your bread too? Way to go. Thanks, but I'm not sure about the vegetables. The last time I was at the garden center, Mom and Dad weren't there. Allison says they're out camping. I'd gone by a week before, and they weren't there then either. Phoebe stared aimlessly at the grass, the trees, the garage. I knew something odd was happening, she thought. I'm not getting the whole story. Camping, she exclaimed. Since when do Mom and Dad go camping? Penny just shrugged, so Phoebe went on thinking out loud. Well, that explains why they didn't call me back. But I just don't get it. What are they up to? Mom is painting wilderness scenes for her show. You know her gallery in Evansville is giving her a one-woman show in September. Yeah? Nice. What about Dad? He's practicing archery, I think. Allison says he shoots with Chi-Chi every day. Dad told me he misses shooting with you. I miss him too. When will they be back? I didn't realize you'd be here so soon. I'm afraid Chi-Chi probably told Mom and Dad you'd be back in the middle of next week. Phoebe's face became thoughtful, and she stared into the distance. So much had changed, and it made her miss her parents even more. She shifted her gaze back to Penny. There's something new here. Something is going on. I bet Dad has a new plan to save the world. Do you know something I don't know? Penny laughed. You do know Dad, but don't put me in the middle. You'll have to ask him yourself. She paused for a moment as if deciding whether to continue, and then her eyebrows came down low over her eyes. But you're right, she said. There are new things around here that will take a while to get used to, and you've got to be careful. Like what? Well, people don't know that Chi-Chi brings the vegetables to Sammy. He wants to keep the source a secret. That seems weird, Phoebe replied. And your dreamstone charm. Keep it tucked under your shirt. I usually do anyway, Phoebe told her, trying to keep her voice calm. But why does it matter? People are looking everywhere for dreamstone, especially here in Middletown. And they're asking a lot of questions. Where's your necklace? Penny felt for the chain around her neck and pulled the small blue charm out from under her shirt. All four members of the Hood family had identical charms, with the same initials, standing for Phoebe Hood, Penny Hood, Patricia Hood, and Peter Hood. The PH initials were a family tradition. Phoebe couldn't keep her voice from trembling. I know that Dreamstone's valuable now, but hiding my necklace? Who cares? Now don't go digging up this issue on your first day back. Phoebe, listen. Promise me. Penny gave her a very severe and significant stare. Please, Phoebe. But taking things slowly had never been Phoebe's strong suit. People always told her to slow down. But she could never actually do it until very recently. Ever since her knee injury, life had felt impossibly slow. Well, thanks for alerting me to all this, she said, and her face broke into a smile. Now, Phoebe, warned Penny, watch out. I know that look. Don't get involved. You're going back to college anyway. Not this year. Without soccer, I'm not so interested. What happened to environmental studies? Penny asked. I thought you were on a mission. I wish I was, and I will be if I can find one. Episode 3 is coming soon. To be continued. And follow our episodes on our website, www.protectorsofthewood.com. Thanks for listening.